Hey, this is James from SurvivalPunk.com.
And this is his co-host, Mike. How are you doing this week, man?
I'm doing pretty good. It's good to finally get a day off. The store where I work at, we had our inventory, so the days got kind of long. The hours got really, really long. It's been a crazy, I'd say, month.
But at least you got all that extra pay from working those extra hours.
Ha, ha, ha.
Yeah, I know. Oh, and I, hey, what, do you know what day this episode's going to air?
Because
we have to make a caveat to something we said on a previous episode.
Right.
If I'm using that word correctly. I don't actually care if I am or not.
This will go out not this coming Wednesday, but the next, which would be...
Let's see, okay...
The 23rd.
Okay,
of July so, of okay. 2014.
So, on a previous episode, we had spoken about our contest to give me a nickname for the show, because James, as we all know, is the Survival Punk, and our loyal fans out there want to have me a nickname. So, starting on Wednesday, was it the 23rd?
Was when this goes out, right.
Starting Wednesday the 23rd, when this episode goes up, proceeding to the next week, which would be obviously the 30th on Wednesday, that's when the contest will be going. So submit, what's the Twitter address they need to be?
At Survival Punk.
At Survival Punk, give your suggestion, hashtag Mike's nickname.
Okay.
Alrighty, and let's see. I think there'll be some loyal members of the Survival Punk Army out there voting. Now that we actually have members of the Survival
Maybe, yeah.
Punk Army.
If you don't know, and I was I kind of kept it hush hush until the launch date on July 4th. I launched the membership support program for Survival Punk, the Survival Punk Army, SPA. And if you join the Survival Punk Army, you get a good value for your money and help Survival Punk to grow.
Wait, the initials are SPA?
They are SPA. Yes, the Survival Punk Army, the SPA.
Well, at least that'll be easy enough to remember.
Right. So a couple of things you do get if you join the Survival Punk Army are 10% off all orders at Original SOE. 10% off all orders at
What's
Survival
SOE?
Gear Bags. Special Operations Equipment, John Willis over at SOE.
Okay.
He's the guy that makes that belt I usually wear with the quick release buckle, the Cobra belt. 10% off Survival Gear Bags. 10% off all orders at LFI Custom Kydex for gun holsters and whatnot. 20% off all orders of Conflicted the Card Game. Free shipping on all orders from Ribs Front Pack, previously reviewed several times by me, and my preferred go-to get-home bag. 10% off all orders at Paleo Meals To Go. 10% off at OnlineCarryTraining.com. 15% off all orders from Well Food Co. Great people there with John Wellborn and his wife. 10% off all orders from River Valley Survival Gear. You also get the ebook by David Nash, 21 Days of Basic Preparedness, and the ebook by Andrew Ayers, What the Cluck, An Alternative View for Raising Chickens. You also will get zip files of Survival Punk episodes in 10-episode chunks. And then me and Mike will be releasing some special video content and whatnot, exclusive for the members and stuff. As time goes by.
Yeah, just with all of those 10%, 15%, 20%, you go there and you do your shopping and you get those discounts, you're going to make back the money that you spent on your membership, so it is, like, highly, highly worth it.
Right. Oh, and it's not a done deal. I'm still out there hustling for you guys.
Are you hearing this crap? He is still out there trying to sweeten the pot.
I just remember that, who is it? Lock and Load Java.
Ooh.
Just threw 10% off as well. So
10% off at Lock and Load Java.
Yeah, and they make some damn good coffee.
Damn good coffee.
With that said...
I drank 3 gallons of it before we started the show.
No, you didn't. I am going to make it... Oh, not only is it 10% off, but they do a new thing now where you get free shipping on orders over $30. So
are you hearing this crap? Are you hearing this?
You buy 4 bags of coffee, you get 10% off, you get free shipping. Because that's really what eats you up, I mean, on any online order is the
shipping. Oh, yeah, the shipping. You seen these things? You can get 3 of these now for $1 plus $69.95 shipping and handling.
All right, let's jump into this. Well, before we do that, you just got back from vacation.
Yes, I did. I went and visited a buddy of mine, a guy named Todd, one of my oldest friends in the world, known him since high school. He is an enlisted man. He is a sergeant in the United States Army. And I went and visited him and his wife and kids down in Columbus, Georgia. He's stationed at Fort Benning, but lives in Columbus, which is about 20, 30 minutes down the road. And we spent about 5-6 days there, hon? Yeah. And we had a pretty good time. I almost drowned a couple times.
Nice. Nice. Yeah.
I still don't know how to swim very well.
I need to work on that myself. I love being in the water, and I can kind of get from point A to point B, but it is not effective nor speedily.
See, my ideal swimming thing would be in some kind of like a donut-shaped pool that just has a current that goes all the way around it while I'm in a life vest floating along.
Yeah.
I'm a lazy swimmer. If I had a gigantic bathtub, I'd be happy.
Yeah.
I like being in the water, but I suck at swimming.
Yeah, I do agree. I just like to be in the water more than like swim and play and whatnot, but not.
Yeah.
Maybe we should go take swimming lessons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we stopped at Rock City in Chattanooga.
Which I've never been there. I need to.
And I still can't believe you've lived in Tennessee your whole life and have never been.
Never been there, nor to Gatlinburg.
Ugh, God, so I've been to Gatlinburg twice in my life.
Yeah.
And I've been to Rock City and Ruby Falls, God only knows how many times apiece.
There's somewhere I want to go that's, it's not those places. It's a different underground cavern.
Raccoon Ground?
Where they do, bluegrass concerts in the cavern chamber called Underground, Bluegrass Underground.
Oh, yeah, there's underground cave tours that everywhere you go almost.
Right. So what do we got coming up today?
Oh, let's see. On today's episode, we're going to be talking about how ISIS, which is apparently not a supervillain group, has seized 88 pounds of uranium. We're going to be talking about some VAT guys in the woods and how they stole my show idea.
Ha.
The 299 Days book series. We're going to be talking about Strike Industries EMP and Keto Clarity. We're also going to have our normal segments, Permaculture Minute, our Wild Edible of the Week, my favorite game, you know, my celebrity invite, and Mike's advice. And why don't we just jump right into it with a few words from the good folks over at jmbullion.com.
Yes. If you are investing in the silver and gold world, which as a prepper and anyone that listens to this show, you should be, for money preservation, future barter, you should go to jmbullion.com to get the best prices, the best value. Free shipping on all orders, period. And the best, most competitive pricing you get on the internet. And I just heard about this, and I need to go make an order. There was a ship sunken during World War II with a bunch of silver on it, and then they recovered it and
re-minted.
They re-minted the silver as new collector coins for that shipwreck. So I actually want to pick up a couple of them myself.
Talk about a freaking limited time offer and exclusivity beyond compare.
So, yeah, check that out. Head over to jmbullion.com. And
actually, head over to survivalpunk.com.
And click
the banner. Go to the right-hand side, find the banner, click on it, and start making wise investment choices today.
Absolutely. All right, and the first news story. So I take it from your expression, you have not heard of these ISIS clowns, have you?
I have not. I thought they were like some kind of like supervillain organization.
They do sound like a supervillain.
Marvel or DC or something.
Right.
I wouldn't have been surprised if either the Avengers or the Justice League had fought them at some point.
Yeah, I've heard snippets here and there, and I haven't. I try not to get bogged down with all the news and stuff going on, but I try to keep somewhat informed. If you get stuck on the news, it's a rabbit hole that never ends, and you'll never get anything accomplished in life.
Oh, see, my buddy Todd, I don't need to watch or listen or look for the news. All I got to do is call him. He'll tell me everything I never wanted to know.
Yeah, yeah.
And, that's not an insult. He is very well informed. I got to give him credit for that.
Yeah, I mean, some people really just love to just stay hooked on the news, and I would not. I'd rather go do productive things. But sometimes it is nice to know what's going on in the world, and this is what's going on in the world, because this is probably a group to keep an eye on. So this is coming from BusinessInsider.com. United Nations. Insurgents in Iraq have seized nuclear materials used for scientific research at a university in the country's north. Iraq told United Nations in a letter appealing for help to stave off the threat of use by terrorists in Iraq or abroad. Nearly 40 kilograms, 88 pounds, of uranium compounds were kept at Mosul University, Iraq's UN ambassador Mohammed Ali Al-Hakim told UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon in the July 8 letter obtained by Reuters on Wednesday.
Terrorist groups have seized control of nuclear materials at sites that came out of the control of the states. Yeah, I was trying to go Middle Eastern with Russian.
No, it's terrible.
Al-Hakim wrote, adding that such materials can be used in manufacturing weapons of mass destruction. These nuclear, or as President Bush would put, nuclear, materials, despite the limited amounts mentioned, can enable terrorist groups, with the availability of the required expertise, to use it separate or in combination with other materials in its terrorist acts, said Al-Hakim. He warned that they could also be smuggled out of Iraq.
A U.S. government source familiar with the matter said the materials were not believed to be enriched uranium and therefore would be difficult to use to manufacture into a weapon. Another U.S. official familiar with security matters said he was unaware of this development, raising any alarm among U.S. authorities. A Sunni Muslim group A Sunni Muslim group known as the Islamic State is spearheading a patchwork of insurgents who have taken over large swaths of Syria and Iraq. The Al-Qaeda offshoot until recently called itself the Islamic State of Iraq and the Levant. ISIL.
ISIS sounds a lot better.
The Republic of Iraq is notifying the international community of these dangerous developments and asking for help and the needed support to stave off the threat of their use by terrorists in Iraq or abroad, Al-Hakim wrote. Iraq acceded to the Convention on the Physical Protection of Nuclear Material on Monday, said the International Atomic Energy Agency, IAEA. The convention requires states to protect nuclear facilities and materials in peaceful domestic use, storage, and transport. It also provides for expanded cooperation between and among states regarding rapid measures to locate and recover stolen or smuggled nuclear material, mitigate any radiological consequences of sabotage, and prevent and combat related offenses, according to the IAEA.
Yeah, it sounds like, from all the news stories I'm hearing, that ISIS is actually really active and doing a lot of stuff. Whereas it seems like a lot of the terrorists in the past have been kind of bumblers. Thank God they're bumblers.
Yeah, they keep blowing themselves up. What's up with that?
Well, obviously they're blowing themselves up because it's part of their faith that it's...
72 virgins in paradise.
Yeah, all that crap. But it just seems like... It reminds me of G.I. Joe with Cobra. They were incompetent. They couldn't get anything done. Like, it seems to me that ISIS may have better leadership, which is scary. Like, I've always feared a competent terrorist group. I mean...
It was the metal masks.
It's just... They seem very competent, and the fact that they are going after uranium means they are trying to build nuclear weapons. Probably dirty bombs of some sort. And I have the feeling that they will use them. I mean, really, I mean, since 9/11, we've not really had anything major happen, thankfully. But I kind of don't...
Nothing to that extent.
I can't give credit to the government that they've been able to stop every single thing. No. I think it's more or less...
There's been plenty of terrorist attacks.
They got lucky. I mean, that's really what happened. They got lucky once, and they're just stupid. And if we come across a competent terrorist group, then we really need to, like, be on our toes.
Yeah, I mean, we get a competent terrorist group out there, you're not going to have the chance to run and hide, because there's not going to be anybody screaming, and then blowing up. They're just going to, you know, bomb your ass from the sky.
Or split up into splinter cells and go take out key points of our electrical grid to take down our service, and then, you know, do distributed attacks on major cities.
I don't like the idea of a competent terrorist group.
Yeah.
I do not like that.
So, I don't really like to follow the news much, but I would be keeping my eye on ISIS.
Yeah.
If
they let you see anything.
They're being pretty public, which, I mean, could be a diversion to something they're doing on the side or...
Misdirection.
Misdirection, yeah, but definitely keep up with them in the news.
Ugh.
Let's move on to something happier.
Yeah, let's move on from Islamic guys and the bombs to some fat guys in the woods.
Yeah, so one of my long-time readers, Tin Man, sent in this article the other day to spread it around.
That ripped off my idea.
That Mike thinks ripped off his idea.
I know it ripped off my idea.
So the name of it's a new TV show coming out on the Weather Channel called Fat Guys in the Woods. And so just reading through it, for thousands of years, man lived wild. He made fire, built shelter, and hunted food with his own two hands. But as he got smarter, his waist got bigger. Now it's time to get the guys off the couch and into the weather on the Weather Channel's Fat Guys in the Woods, premiering August 10th, 10 to 9 Central on the Weather Channel.
The Weather Channel survival expert, Creek Stewart, will train these men in how to build shelter, start fire, and hunt with nothing but their bare hands, and maybe a condom or a gum wrapper. Three men one week and one objective, to learn the skills that make a man. A man. This show is not about making fun of fat guys, despite its name. It's about giving regular Joes the chance to do something they've only seen done by Brad Pitt types. These guys may not have a clue how to survive on their own, but by the end of the week, in the woods, they'll have the knowledge and courage to survive.
Creek takes a very simple approach to survival. He says, Mother Nature breaks us down to our bare essentials. She reminds us of our most basic human needs, and she does not have time for our excuses. We've lost this understanding. We've made everything so complicated. Survival simple. Don't give up. And don't die. With that in mind, we'll take three men who love their creature comforts, but believe they have the survival instinct to do without them, and test them against the elements. Creek will take the trio into the woods for a week-long immersion into potentially deadly conditions, and learn who does and who doesn't have what it takes. With weather as their enemy, everyone will fight to discover their survival instinct and learn who they really are.
Creek is more than up for the challenge of turning these couch potatoes into men. I've taught survival for 15 years to people from all walks of life. I don't just teach a skill set, I teach a mindset. I thrive on seeing the change in people, Creek says. With Creek as their guide, can these fat guys conquer Mother Nature? To learn how to survive in impossible situations and see regular Jones turn into survival experts, tune in to Fat Guys in the Woods, Sunday, 10-9 Central on the Weather Channel.
I love how you slipped into your Nicolas Cage there for a second.
I did not slip into Nicolas Cage! Why the hell does everybody think I sound like Nicolas Cage?
You had a Nicolas Cage going on.
I did not have a Nicolas Cage going on.
I thought you were about to threaten people to put the bunny back in the box.
Put the bunny back in the box.
Anyway, I mean, for the website and for my own personal enjoyment, I've watched bits and pieces of about every survival show to come on TV. And usually it is just bits and pieces. Normally I can't stand to watch too much more. Like, I decided to do a review of Doomsday Preppers, and I attempted to watch two episodes.
I did not
finish either of the two episodes. I thought maybe one was just a fluke, so I tried another one.
Wah, wah.
And The people in it were so batshit crazy, I was like, I just can't watch this. Like, one family was, they were like, bullets are a finite resource, so we're not going to even bother prepping with them. We've got this, and they were just like, junky retail. They're just like, we just got this old beat-up shotgun, and then we make throwing stars. What?
Make throwing stars?
They're using angle grinders to cut up pieces of metal and stuff to, like, make primitive throwing star weapons and stuff. I'm like...
Make throwing stars.
Because they're
trying to be retard ninjas in the woods.
Yeah, because Doomsday Preppers always makes you say you're prepping for this or prepping for that.
You know, now that I've actually read this article, this little article right here,
yeah,
I feel a little bit better. They didn't exactly rip off my idea. As anybody's heard out there, I came up with a show idea a while back called Keep Mike Alive, which basically would be our survival show hosted by me and our survival punk James here, where I would simulate different injuries, illnesses, stuff like that, and it would be his job to keep not only himself alive in a survival situation, but somebody who is a complete and utter hindrance.
Yeah.
That show is not exactly that. That's right. Teaching couch potatoes how to be survivalists.
Yeah. Which, I mean, basically, I mean, there's two ways to look at the sort of the concept. Like, one, you have a hindrance that you're trying to not... You're trying to keep yourself and a partner alive, which is difficult. Or you're trying to pass on those skills and knowledge to someone that's not adapted, doesn't have them, in a super crash course, which is what they're doing there. They're taking very physically unfit people with no skill sets of, you know, survival out into the woods, you know, to test them. And they didn't mention this article, and I've read about it elsewhere. They were, I mean, what they're really trying to push with the show was kind of as a wake up call to people,
right?
You know, I mean, they've let themselves go, and they really need a sort of kick in the ass that Mother Nature is prone to give you.
You know, obesity is more of a modern occurrence.
Yeah,
there didn't used to be a lot of fat people. Back before they invented electricity.
Not terribly many. And I think part of it is convenience, and part of it is the modern food supply.
Well, in some of the Pacific Islands they did. Of course, back then they treasured fat people as beautiful.
Right, and I'm sure they had to work hard to get fat back then.
Well, the person getting fat didn't have to work hard, but everybody else worked hard finding food to feed these people.
Well, if that's what they were doing, I mean...
Just, that was the original Keep Mike Alive, just, right there.
Eating a natural diet is so hard to put on weight. Like, you've got to... They had to be eating tons and tons of fruit. And not doing much of anything.
Pretty much. Pretty much.
So that was our news story. What do we got next?
Oh, let's see. Moving right on to 299 Days book series.
Right. So... You don't know anything about this.
No, not a clue.
And that's part of why I like our series here.
Yeah.
So, 299 Days is a disaster collapse book series, fiction, obviously, written by Glenn Tate, who is he's been a big fan of, like, the Survival Podcast, big on the forums, been around for a couple years in that. And his day job is, he works in politics, so he has sort of an inside track into how corrupt it is. He sees all the backdoor dealings, the crazy stuff that goes on, and it helped him sort of formulate, you know, kind of how a realistic collapse would go in reality, which I've read quite a bit of post-apocalyptic fiction books.
Mm-hmm.
And they generally tend to be, like, way over the top insane. I mean,
well, they're trying to sell books.
Right, but, I don't think a lot of it comes off realistically. Like,
zombies?
Well, zombies for one, but just the way that, like, the collapse occurs. Like, author James Wesley Rawls, his book series, Patriots and all of the sequels that are horrible. The collapse happened sort of like overnight.
Right.
I mean, literally, like in a span of like a couple of days, it's like bam, 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 bam. You know,
everything's done. One day, business as usual by the end of the week.
Yeah, it's like riots in the streets, cities burning down, just the government is gone. And the government's not going to close up shop and go away like that.
No, no, no. If that was the case, that would have happened a long time ago.
I mean, and Glenn takes, I mean, the first, like, book is basically autobiographical. He's basically telling his story of how he grew up, you know, with his sort of super rural, bringings, the troubles he had with his dad, which I kind of related. Like, he had a really rough, like, childhood and had bad experiences with his father. I related to that a lot when he was writing the book, when I was reading the book. And then how he got away from that, kind of became successful, you know, got married, had a family, got pudgy and lazy, and just didn't want to do anything to do with, you know, anything that he grew up with. No hunting, no fishing, no guns. And then his path, how he realized that the systems are vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
A collapse is inevitable, which, you know, his job sort of led him to see, you know, this stuff is going to happen. And I mean, the rational response when you realize that our society is very fragile.
Yeah.
Collapse is imminent. I mean, the society cannot continue the way it's going. It's going, like, the monetary system is crazy. The way the politics are running is crazy. A collapse is inevitable.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the way the debt is insane. It's gonna, a change is gonna have to happen. And if you think about that change, you realize that, it's not gonna be a pleasant time. Things could be tough. Going to the Kroger store, here in the South, wherever you're at, the grocery store, mm-hmm. and just getting your food, probably not going to be an option. And then, you know, anyone that's, I don't have a family per se, but I have a close-knit group of friends and family. And when you realize that, I mean, if you're a good human being, you don't want your friends and family to die.
No, you don't.
And he, as a good father in the story and in real life, started making preparations kind of on the down low because his wife just wouldn't hear none of it. And we'll get to that in a second. He started making preparations in secret the whole time just because he was like, if all this shit hits the fan, I want my family to be taken care of. Yeah. I mean, that's sort of the core fundamental of every father in the world, right?
Exactly. I
mean, your job is to put food on that table.
Right.
I mean, there are some dirtbag shit fathers out there that I'm sure don't think that way, but every good and decent father, they know that's their job. Your kids, your wife, your family need food on that table.
Mm-hmm.
And if the system collapses, what's your plan for that? Oh, sorry, the grocery stores are closed. Gonna starve to death, kids.
I'd eat my neighbors.
What?
I'd eat my neighbors.
No. So yeah, he started prepping in secret, and then the show followed, the show.
The show.
The book sort of ends with the collapse in that book series.
Spoiler
starting.
Alert.
Well, obviously, it's like a 10-book series, and I want to say about 7 or 8 of them are out now. I'm somewhere on, I think, book 5. Yeah. I had a mix-up with the books, and it kind of derailed me for a moment.
What do you mean a mix-up? You started in the middle, didn't you?
No, I read book 1. I read book 2. Book 2 was really good. It's the collapse happens. He goes out to his retreat. And then somehow I read book 4.
You skipped 3.
I skipped 3.
You were horrible.
And he
about
wrote
that.
It well enough that I didn't realize it.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I didn't realize that I skipped a book. So when I realized it, I had to go back to read book 3. It kind of takes a lot of suspense and stuff out of stuff because I know.
You know what's going to happen. You know, already knows what happens.
Right. I don't know everything that happens in that book, but I know everyone makes it okay. So.
which is actually this book I have in my hands. It's the third book, the Community. Yeah. So, and I'm on page 97 of it.
Oh, my Lord.
I'm about halfway, a little under halfway.
So what's the actual name of the first book? Just 299 Days?
I think it's called The Preparation. I'm sure it has a book list in here. And they're released by the great guys at Prepper Press. I just want to give a shout out because I really like those guys.
Shout out, Prepper Press!
Book one is The Preparation. Book two is The Collapse. Book three, The Community. Book four, The Stronghold. So yeah, I've read up to The Stronghold, so I'm on book four.
Sort of.
Technically, I'm starting... Yeah, anyway. No.
And they're not very big books, it looks like.
Originally, I guess he had wanted to do it as, like, maybe one book or something, and I mean...
You could read that in a day.
I'm a slow reader.
No, but I mean, if somebody had a day, I mean, it's not even 300 pages, so, I mean...
Right, right. So, yeah, 300 pages, so...
You could read that on a long flight.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's, I mean, they're good books. I mean, what I'm getting at is I've read a bunch of books in the survival genre.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them are train wrecks. Most of them are horrible, horrible train wrecks. And Glenn really crafted a good series. His characters are believable and realistic. And he says that's not because he's a good author. It's because he's based these on real people. He's like, that's really my buddy, Powell. And that's really, like, the main character, is based on him, Grant. Grant is really Glenn, which is a pseudonym. His name's really not Glenn Tate.
No, he's writing what he knows. That's why it's realistic.
Right. And then when he goes off into the collapse, you know, it's supposed to be a partial collapse where it's not a complete collapse of the government. There's, like, the government contracts in and does some special services in certain big cities, and they sort of pull out of other areas.
Which makes sense.
Makes perfect sense.
So, I mean, the realism in the books, I really like the characters. To bring it back to James Wesley Rawls, who's probably maybe the biggest name, for the time being, because I think Glenn's going to overtake him just because he has better books.
Mm-hmm.
James Wesley Rawls of survivalblog.com. He wrote the book Patriots, a novel of the coming collapse. I bought that. I've actually read it like two or three times. The characters are flat. You don't really care about any of them. They seem unrealistic, and parts of it are kind of like a technical manual. He kind of took like a survival manual and loosely wove some kind of story in that.
Hmm.
And it's terrible, but you do learn a lot of nuggets of, like, survival wisdom with that.
Really?
And it was enough that, I mean, obviously I've read the book twice. I mean, I took it camping with me once and read it again. So it's not, I don't hate the book. His second book, I did hate. His second book was the worst thing. I knew I was going to review it for the website. So literally, I had to force myself to keep reading the words on the page and just to keep going through.
There's nothing worse than forcing yourself to get through a book.
Yeah, and I can do the speed reading thing, but I don't if I'm trying to read for pleasure. I read at a slow pace where I can, like, vocalize the words in my head and sort of play it out. It's like a movie moving in my head.
Mm-hmm.
And with this book, towards the last 50 pages, I just sped read it because I just didn't care. I just wanted to get done.
Right.
Everybody was unrealistic. He's an over-the-top fundamentalist Christian and refuses to use curse words and refuses to let his characters use curse words.
Which is unrealistic in itself.
Which is unrealistic. Like, a guy is, like, running through the jungle and, like, breaks his leg and says some retarded crap.
Oh, fiddledy-dee.
Yeah, literally that damn stupid. He re-coined the term, the shit has hit the fan, to be the skewmer has hit the fan.
Skewmer?
There's a politician that's a stupid idiot named Skewmer, and they're like, the skewmer hit the fan.
The skewmer?
No, just say, the shit has hit the fan.
The dookie hit the fan.
It just, it was over the top, unreal it. So when you read a book, and this is what I talked about when I reviewed the 299 Days books, any good piece of genre of any fiction has suspension of belief. You know what you're reading or watching is not real, but you're engrossed with the story to suspend your disbelief.
Mm-hmm.
299 Days does this well. You know the government's, you know it's realistic enough and the characters are well balanced enough that you're sucked in, and even though you're reading fake events, you're pulled into it. I care about the characters in there if they die or not. The characters in the second book, and really the first book from James Wesley Rawls, every character was really James Wesley Rawls. Every character.
Okay.
They're all really him. They're all the same. They all talk the same. They all reacted the same. There was one Spanish character that he did like the worst like racist voice dialoguing for.
Oh my God.
Like had they been an Asian character, it would be like me rub you wrong time. Like really, it was that like, and that he wrote bad pronunciations into everything that character said.
Oh my God.
And it literally was a train wreck.
We've got to get out of here, Arriba.
So yeah. I would say 299 Days does not have as much, it's not as dense a survival manual, but it teaches through enjoyable fiction well. It doesn't beat you over the head like, you need this model number this and that model number that and this and that. And it's like, the characters do things. And they occasionally mess up,
mm-hmm.
like real people do.
Yeah.
And you learn from their mistakes by proxy through reading it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't want to lament too long, but if you've not read the 299 Days series, highly recommend it. Highly recommend it. It's, as far as I'm concerned, it's the best prepper fiction out there.
You know what I think Glenn should do, though? He should have some kind of a deal work out. If you order off his website and get all the books, he should show it, he should throw in the 300th day for free.
The 300th day.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I may actually, if you ever invite Glenn on the show, I may actually try to track him down and get him on for a quick interview.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Yeah. I mean, I've exchanged some
You're
emails.
You're supposed to be
him.
Trying to track down everybody I invite to the show.
I
have you emailed Aaron McGehee yet?
Who is that?
Oh God. I am so sorry, Aaron. I know who you are. Oh, least popular of the jackasses.
Oh, I was thinking Aaron Ralston from 127 Hours?
No, not him. I've already invited him on the show.
I'll track him down. Les Stroud, please respond to my Twitter where I invite you on the show.
He was one of the first few people I invited on, too. Yeah.
And then Dave Canterbury never answers my email, so.
What about Cody Lundeen?
I'm gonna go on a spree of emailing people to get on the show.
I mean, they both got fired. It's not like they
got.
I mean,
now that I have Skype recording software because of the debacle of the first Paul Wheaton interview.
Oh,
it was 7 hours of editing and it was still junk. It's you can kind of listen to it. There's parts where I'm like, I don't know what he said.
Yeah, just a spoiler alert, there's going to be a special episode that comes up with the...
Which will probably come up before this, because I'm just going to drop it in on a day, probably.
Right, I mean,
maybe even tomorrow.
Not going to be part of our normal weekly stuff, but he re-interviewed Paul Wheaton, different questions and everything.
Yeah.
And like Judas himself, he did it behind my back.
Yeah. You were at work, So whatever. But yeah, from now on, I'll try
to... So there's an episode that's gonna go up that I'm not on, but everybody relax. It didn't mean I get fired.
Maybe I could three-way call you anyway.
What, and listen to the show? What are you talking about?
No, I'm saying like, if I can't get over here to get someone, maybe I could like, call them on Skype and then call you as well, and then have like a conference call so we can all be on the call on the show.
You better.
Anyway,
I don't like being left out.
Yeah. So what do we got next?
I'm your co-host.
I don't know how long I was rambling about 299 days here. But yeah, great book. Highly recommend it.
But speaking of ramblings, check out ramblingspodcast.com for another great show by these great guys. Okay, up next is Gadget Punk, our Gadget Punk segment. And this week you're going to be talking about something called Strike Industries EMP. So it's my understanding that usually means electromagnetic pulse.
Right.
But this does not look like it produces electricity. No, it is knock out all the electronics in the room.
It's a replacement floor plate for a Magpul PMag second generation magazine. Not a third generation.
Is there enough mags in there?
No. Not for the third generation. Cause I had one and didn't realize it and tried changing it out and it wouldn't fit and I was getting frustrated and I was like, wrong. Yeah, it's not gonna go. So
what's the deal with this thing? It looks like a magazine.
Well, it's just this bottom part.
The kind that goes into some kind of a gun.
Yeah, just this bottom part right here is the EMP.
Does it come off?
It was not. There's pins to lock it into place so it won't come off.
Okay, but you just put that on the bottom of your magazine.
You do. You take off the existing floor plate on your PMag Generation 2.
Now, what's the benefits of replacing the bottom of it?
Well, this one's more tactile.
Okay.
I mean, there's... They list a bunch of reasons, and I still need to, like, actually dig in and test them all.
Screw their reasons. What's your reasons?
So when you pull the mag out, this one has a lot more tactile feel on it. So it's easier to get a grip on it, yank it out, and then pop it in there.
So you got a better grip. That's awesome.
You got a better grip. It's extended. That's what the EMP stands for, extended magazine plate, EMP.
Oh, that makes sense.
And by extended, it gives you +2 capacity to your magazine.
So you can put two extra rounds in there.
Making it a 32 capacity. A lot of people tend to slightly underload their magazines to put less stress on the magazine spring.
Makes sense.
And usually they underload by one or two. So if you underload it by two, you get the full 30 rounds in here.
Right. Okay.
So there's that. So better grip, two extra rounds. I usually will load to full 30 round capacity.
Right. Hey, sometimes the difference between life or your life and death could just be two bullets.
Right. So +2 magazine, and so I found these guys, Strike Force, through there's a company called Magpod. Magpod is developing a magazine floor plate replacement that turns the magazine into a monopod, a self-balancing monopod, so that when it's in the rifle, you can stand the rifle completely on the magazine, on the ground, and it balances and is level completely.
Pretty sweet.
Pretty sweet.
Is that what that do?
This one...
I can't talk tonight.
...will not balance completely like that.
Wah, wah.
I couldn't get to do that. I went prone on the floor, and then if you rock it back and hold it, it does present a nice level flat spot back there on the angled part, so that you can, like, it does act as a monopod, but not by itself. Right, which, I mean...
It'll help you hold it steady, but it won't...
It won't do it on its own, obviously.
If you leave it alone, you're going to fall over.
With a regular floor plate, it's completely flat, so it would be like that.
Right.
And then you'd have to rock it up on, like, a funky angle.
Right. No stability there at all.
Right. When you rock it up now, it's on a level spot, and you have, good ground contact.
Now, I saw you actually stand that up by itself earlier.
Right. The magazine will stand up on the with the back plate.
Like that, yeah.
Right. So it is pretty stable. Well, anyway, the Magpod guys have been in development for freaking like 2 years without releasing a damn product.
Really?
They keep going back to the drawing board and back to the drawing board. And just because I want to call them out, those lazy sacks of crap.
Lazy sacks of crap.
And they haven't responded to my messages.
Oh, they will now.
Okay,
I'm looking at their crap.
I mean, it's a lot bigger,
mm-hmm.
More tactile. It does self-balance.
I mean,
the one you got or the one they're allegedly
the one they have, which I mean I guess they've sent out for promo pictures, but
it's not on the market. So guess what? It don't count.
Yeah. Beta testing for more than 2 years. And I like the term that victory goes to the duocracy. Strike Force has a product. I was on the Magpod Facebook page, and someone commented on their page that said, hey, Strike Force beat you to it. They got a product.
Guess what? Somebody invented the telephone before Alexander Graham Bell, but he beat them to the patent office. So who gets credit? Thank you.
Yeah, and then the guy that put on there, Too Late Strike Industries EMP, and then Magpod was just like sore losers, just butthurt sore losers. Well, only one has a U.S. patent issued and another one pending. Go ahead and buy the EMP if you think it's the shit. Well, it actually has one to buy.
Yeah, what do you have to buy? Not a damn thing. Sorry.
I mean, as far as I'm concerned, I would rather them 2 years ago put out their version one for sale. And then when people got it and they started using it, they'd be like, hey, I think you should make this improvement. Hey, I think you should do this improvement. And then they could go ahead and prototype it and then make another one.
They're being too damn scared to put anything out. There's a reason. You put out what you got. Guess what? People are going to buy what you got. Then you put out the better one later. No. Now you've resold. Now you're making even more profit.
Not even that, but like when you put something out there, you'll hear about what needs to be fixed.
Exactly. Exactly. People will call you with their complaints. I know. I work in a customer service industry. People call and tell us what we need to do better.
Yeah. So, I mean, perfectionism is a crippling thing. Perfectionism is why it took us so long to get the podcast going.
You can't perfect something that is not being practically tested by the consumer. I'm right. Sorry. As good as you think it is, as soon as you put it out there, somebody's going to find a problem with it.
Yeah.
That's what you need. You need to find out what the problems are from the people that are actually going to be buying your stuff.
Right. So Strike Force has a product. I went and bought it as soon as I saw that they had it.
And you know why? Because Magpod didn't have your product to buy.
Yes. And at this point, I'm actually kind of just irked at it. I also emailed the Strike Force guys, and they responded. They talked to me. And
so kudos, Strike Force.
Right. And then I kind of had an issue.
Oh, God.
I bought the Strike Force EMP.
Uh-huh.
And then it's just the order completed. They sent me the shipping info. The shipping info didn't update after a couple of days. So I emailed them and was like, hey, so what's going on with the shipping info? It must have gotten eaten by the post office or something. So they said, you know what? Fine. We'll send you out a new one and we'll throw in some goodies. And they threw this Strike Industries patch that's on my backpack now.
Huh. It's kind of spiffy looking.
Yeah. So good customer service.
They apologized and they made it right.
Exactly.
They made it right. They compensated you for your discomfort.
So, screw you, Magpod. Way to go, Strike Force.
Yeah. You know, be quicker off the mark next time.
Yeah.
But you know something that's good about those EMPs in your magazines and all that? Huh. If you got a bunch of those and you need some place to put it, you know where you can put it? In your survival gear bag.
Yeah, and I'm sure Kelly over at survivalgearbag.com has some nice magazine carrying vests and stuff, probably from SOE, which you can get 10% off if you're a Cyberpunk Army member.
10% off. Join now.
Yeah. So, yes, Kelly John Doe over there, Survival Gear Bags. Great selection of items. I was just using my Olight S10 Baton flashlight yesterday. Best little EDC flashlight in the world. And all the other good survival gear bags and gear to put in those bags over at survivalgearbags.com. And as always, if you'd like to buy from Kelly over at Survival Gear Bags, head to survivalpunk.com, click on the banner in the right-hand margin, so Kelly knows that you have some Survival Punk love. And if you're a member, make sure you use your discount code so you can save 10% off.
10% off. The bigger the order, the bigger the savings.
And I think they do free shipping now. I don't want to misquote it, but I think they do free shipping there.
You find that out before you just start blowing off at the mouth.
I'm almost positive they do free shipping.
You know what? You're on survivalpunk.com right now. Click on Survival Gear Bags there on the right-hand column. Click on that. Go ahead, do it. I dare you.
I did.
He did. Normally you can get there quicker, but my internet sucks.
Yeah. Free right. shipping on all orders.
Free yes. shipping on all orders. 10% off for members of the Survival Punk Army.
Yes.
So, visit Kelly John Doe over at Survival Gear Bags. Alrighty, and now it's time for our nutrition punk segment of the week. And I have no idea what keto clarity is. I don't know what ketos are. It sounds like some kind of a chip.
Keto is based on the ketogenic diet, which is a low-carb, high-fat diet that produces ketones, which is what your body switches to when you're sort of fat-burning.
So it has nothing to do with chips?
No, probably no chips whatsoever, actually.
Sounds like a healthy version of Fritos.
So, Jimmy Moore from the Livin' La Vida Low Carb blog and podcast.
I see what he said. I see what
yeah,
he did there.
Yeah, Livin' La Vida Low Carb. Yeah, he has a new book coming out. I want to say in August, called Keto Clarity, which is all about the ketogenic diet and some tips he used to like lose a bunch of weight. I used some of those tips through. So I read I am reading a copy. A chapter of his book, like on 10 mistakes low carbers make. And, that was one of the main things that helped me with my weight loss.
Was sweet.
Some of those tips that he gave out there.
Just throw out a tip, just as an example. Like, what's one of those tips?
If you're low carbing and you're eating too much protein, that protein is being converted through the process of gluconeogenesis, which is where if you're eating low carb and you eat excessive amounts of protein, your liver breaks down the protein and makes it into glucose for the body. So by eating excess glucose, you're actually, you're eating too much protein, you're getting like blood sugar spikes through protein.
So you gotta remember it's low carb, not no carb.
It's low carb and moderate protein. Ooh. You gotta find that moderate protein level. So if you're just eating like, you know, steak, you're probably eating too much protein.
Probably.
So you want to cut back. Like, I started, like, cutting steaks in half, and then eating, like, smaller portions of protein.
I ate half the steak just to prove that I had the willpower. Yeah, then I ate the other half.
Jimmy was talking about eating a like, bite of butter with every food he eats. Like, a piece of hamburger, bite of butter. Yeah. He was like, sometimes if I'm feeling like a little hunger pain thing, like I'll take a piece of cheese, full fat cheese, wrap it around some like a piece of butter, like a pat of butter, and just eat that. So you're basically just getting a huge whack of fat with little proteins, little carbs.
Diet written by Homer Simpson?
It works.
That's what he did with his waffle. He wrapped it around a stick of butter and put it on a toothpick.
Well, yeah, just not the whole waffle part though. So yeah, he's wrote a new book called Keto Clarity, which is full of tips like this. I like the way it's wrote. To me, it feels a lot like the Dummy series books, which I love. If you're trying to learn a subject, go buy that subject for dummies, and you will learn it.
What about that subject for complete idiots?
I don't like that book series as well.
You don't like the complete idiots?
I like the, it has snippets from, snippets from his, experts panel. Like, in between chapters. So it's, like, little tips here and there spread, like, throughout all the chapters. Like, in between, like, paragraphs, basically.
I read one of them for Dummies books one time. I couldn't understand it.
Yeah. And then the end of the chapters have summaries of what went on in the chapter, which is good. So, I mean, if you're kind of like me, you can flip to the end of the chapter and be like, oh, what was the chapter about? That. Get the bullet points from that chapter.
Huh.
I sometimes like to just jump in and get the bullet points. Like, do this, 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 and this. Thumbs up, you're good.
Sweet.
And then Jimmy's just a funny guy.
Really?
I mean, obviously, Livin' La Vida Low Carb. He has a lot of enthusiasm. It gets very infectious. And he just kind of, like, the enthusiasm and then, like, the sense of humor. Kazoom tight.
Thank you.
I hate learning things from boring people. I could never go to school and learn from Ben Stein. Couldn't do it. I'd be out of there.
Bueller.
Yeah.
Bueller.
So I learn better when there's some humor involved. So Keto Clarity, I'll have a full book review coming up. I think you can find it on Amazon. If I could find it in a pre-order state, I'll include a link in the show notes. Jimmy was kind enough to respond to the email, actually to the Twitter I sent him, asking if he needed people to review the book, and then sure enough shot me over a PDF review copy.
Sweet.
That I've been reading. So yeah, Jimmy's good people.
It's nice when people respond to your emails, isn't it?
It's, you know what? I can understand I'm not the biggest blog on the internet, and maybe you don't want to do business with me for political reasons or whatever.
Political reasons?
Well, I mean, you know, some of the people that I talk to, you know, maybe they disagree with me
and
don't want to work with me for whatever deals I'm going on. But a simple, hey, you know, we're kind of backed up at this time. We can't really have any products to give out. We don't have anything to do.
Just an acknowledgement that, you know, just,
right.
If you're not interested, just acknowledge it. Say, I'm sorry, but this is not a path that we want to go down. Thank you for your interest.
Right.
Don't just be like superior dicks and pretend you don't exist.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, I'm okay with rejection. I've got, you know, because emailing people for the for discounts and then for ebooks for the Cerebral Punk Army, I had to send out a lot of emails.
Yeah.
And I got some good responses from great people, and some people I did not get a response from. Okay, maybe you guys are busy, maybe you got filtered. But I mean, every time I get a response back, it makes me respect that company so much more, even though they're not going to work with me.
They took the time,
yeah. And if someone's like, hey, if you were to recommend a company, would you rather do business A or B? If A gave me a response, and even if it was negative, I'm gonna recommend them because they have integrity as a company.
Now, let me just tell you something a little bit about the customer service point of view on this. Guess what? If you are a dick to the potential client, they'll go out and tell 12 people. If you're nice to them, they'll tell 2. You're going to get a lot more it's easier to get bad publicity than it is good publicity. So at least make that small effort. I mean, it's not going to kill you to acknowledge the fact that this person just trying to build something for themselves, make something grand in this world, just give them the time. Because guess what? When you were starting that company, if people treated you that way, you wouldn't have your damn company.
I actually got a response back from the North Face.
Sorry, I got to climb off my soapbox.
Yeah. And it was, they obviously couldn't do anything for me at this time, but that company is amazingly huge, and they had the time to respond back to me.
See, and it's nice.
Yeah.
It's just nice to know that, you know, somebody cares at least that little bit.
So, moving along, we got our Permaculture Minute.
Yes, it's time for the Permaculture Minute from... what's his name again?
Paul Wheaton.
I almost said Josh Wheaton.
Josh Wheaton.
From Paul Wheaton's Permaculture Playing Cards, it's time for our Permaculture Minute this week. We have the Eight of Spades here, which is the natural swimming pool.
I really want one of those.
You want a natural swimming pool?
Yeah.
Well, let me tell people out there what a natural swimming pool is.
I'm going to build one in your front yard, actually.
Natural swimming pools are cleansed by plants and bacteria, so there is no need for chlorine. Popular in Europe, even as public swimming pools, lower maintenance than a regular pool, safe for fish and frogs, never pay for toxic gick. Gick?
Gick.
The shallow section is where the filtering happens, and the deep section is where you swim with the fishes. I wonder if there's anything hidden on this card.
Now that
we actually talked to him and he talked about the stuff hidden, I want to keep looking for stuff.
Jack Spirko's hidden on the Hoogle Culture card.
On the what now?
Hoogle Culture. I think we talked about that already.
Hoogle Culture?
Hoogle Culture. That'll be in one of the cards, I think, that you flipped over in the back.
We will eventually get there. I can't really tell.
Your vision's terrible, though.
Yeah, I know it is.
So let's move on to, is it Wild Edible time?
Yes, it is time for our Wild Edible of the Week.
You use the Green Book, don't you?
Yeah, I use the Green Book.
The Green Book, the Edible Plants from the Department of the Army, the Illustrated Guide of Edible Plants. Let me see the permaculture card real quick.
Oh, here you go. Alrighty then. And today's Wild Edible of the Week, or this week's Wild Edible of the Week, is the Water Lily, or the Nymphia odorata. These plants have large triangular leaves that float on the water's surface. Large, fragrant... Fragrant?
flagrant flowers. Fragrant flowers that are usually white or red and thick, fleshy rhizomes that grow in the mud. Water lilies are found throughout much of the temperate and subtropical regions. The flowers, seeds, and rhizomes are edible raw or cooked. To prepare rhizomes for eating, peel off the corky rind, eat raw or slice thinly, allow to dry, and then grind into flour. Dry, parch, and grind the seeds into flour. Use the liquid resulting from the boiling the thickened root in water as medicine for diarrhea and as a gargle for sore throats. And that, my friends, was our wild edible of the week.
And now,
I found the hidden thing on the card.
Well, you did,
but I can't read it.
Then you didn't find it. You're hallucinating.
It's right there.
What is it? Give me that.
It looks like Duncan Limpfreeze.
Oh my god, you're right. There is something. It's written in there.
But it's written in blue ink, in blue.
Well, that's why it's hidden.
Yeah.
And I'm nearsighted and I can't even read this. Way to go. Way to go,
Paul.
Paul, yeah. God, we had him on the show, for God's sakes.
Twice, actually.
I cannot think today.
If I had a magnifying glass, I'd probably make it out.
All right, well, moving right along. It is that time once again, ladies and gentlemen, for everybody's favorite segment of the show, our game that is sweeping the nation, or so I keep trying to tell myself. It is time for Mike's Worst Cases, where we get questions from an extremely outdated board game, the Worst Case Scenario game, and ask our very own survival punk James over here these five questions. If he gets 3 out of 5 correct, he wins the grand prize, which is always a secret. And if he fails to do that, he will be punished severely. So, James, are you ready?
Absolutely.
Okay, then let's just dive right into it. Your first question. How to handle a fender bender in a foreign country?
Oh, God.
Do you A, right?
Run.
Do you... yeah, that's not on here. Do you A, write down your passport number and driver's license number, then give it to the other driver? B, do not get out of the car. Turn on your hazard lights and proceed to the nearest police station. Or C, call the authorities to determine if a police report is required for all accidents in that country.
C.
Ding, 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 ding. Correct. You actually got one. You're off to a good start there. All right, question number 2. How to escape from a black bear? A. Lie still and quiet. B. Climb the nearest tree. Or C. Throw rocks or sticks at the bear and growl loudly.
C.
Can you see these answers?
No.
Okay, well, ding, 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 ding. Correct. I'm going to hold the rest of the cards here. Okay, you've already got 2. You looked at the cards, didn't you?
No.
You did? No. Well, you used to own this game. Anyway... okay, question number 3. You could possibly get this in a clean sweep. How to prevent hypothermia in the wilderness? Do you A, drink liquor to warm the body, place hot packs directly under dry clothing on the hands, neck, and feet? B, wrap yourself in dry blankets and drink a caffeinated beverage to increase blood flow? Or C, dress in dry, warm clothing, drink liquids, and eat plenty of carbohydrates?
I'm going to go with C.
And the correct answer is...
B.
Ding, 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 ding. C!
Oh.
3 out of 3. You got this right off the bat.
I want to disagree with that, though.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
I disagree that you should eat lots of carbohydrates. I say that you should eat huge amounts of fat because fat makes your body burn super hot, like sweating during the middle of the winter. People that do those long expeditions in the Arctic regions usually consume pure fat because A, it's so calorie dense you can actually consume enough calories to keep yourself alive per day, and it makes you hotter.
Feel pretty good about yourself?
Yeah, your card's wrong. The carbohydrate part was the only thing that took me down. If you're on water, I could see you consuming the extra carbohydrates because they carry water molecules within the carbohydrate. So it keeps you better hydrated on, like, the open seas. But in a cold environment, screw the carbohydrates, go for pure fat.
No, screw you, dude. You got this in 3 questions, and now you're going to sit there and argue against your own right answer.
Yeah.
Guess what? You don't get the prize. You're disqualified this week. Up first for Survival Punk.
Yeah, whatever.
All right. Now, if you want to keep hearing quality programming, like you just heard on Survival Punk podcast and survivalpunk.com, and if you want to sell your products, just contact James at survivalpunk.com. He will cut you a deal. We have deals for product placement. He has deals for cash, discount deals for bartering, for precious metals, for bitcoins.
Yeah. If you want to advertise at survivalpunk.com and your business is legit,
legit.
I don't take anybody.
Right. I mean, we are selective about this. We're not going to start advertising sofas and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Or anything from adamandeve.com. No, this has to be at least semi-related to the survival or paleo or punk rock lifestyle.
Also, Fleshlight. I'll take advertisement money from Fleshlight.
You would. All right. And it's time for our celebrity invite of the week. And this week, I figured, what the crap? Seeing as how we've already talked about him once, I'm going to go ahead and invite the brains behind the show, Fat Men in the Woods, or Fat Guys in the Woods, or whatever the hell it's called. Mr. Creek Stewart, he seems to be some kind of a survival expert. I've never heard of him before this episode, but what the crap? You have an open-ended, open-door invite onto the show. We'd like to hear how you're going to make fat guys like me into survival geniuses.
Exactly. I wonder if, he's on Twitter.
Yes, I do consider myself a couch potato survivalist. I am good on the survival stuff in theory. I hardly ever try to put it into practice, though. But I've got a bug-out bag, so I'm happy. What are you looking up there?
Creek Stewart.
Oh, you're looking up Creek Stewart. Well, why don't you go ahead and shoot him an email over there?
I'm gonna Twitterize him.
Oh, Twitterizing.
Oh, he only has 854 followers. He's gonna respond to my tweet like a mofo.
I hope so. We could actually have
tweet this, to Creek.
We could actually have a second on here. I invited Josh Wheaton onto the show. Paul Wheaton, sorry. Why do I keep calling you Josh? Was that the guy that made Firefly?
Yes, it was the guy that did Firefly.
I am so sorry, Paul. You did not create Firefly.
Paul actually likes Firefly.
Well, then hopefully he'll accept my apology. Well, I invited Paul Wheaton onto the show, and he came on, and now I'm going to invite Creek Stewart, and seeing how his follower base is relatively low, hopefully he'll come on. We'll be more than happy to do this interview, give you some publicity.
Yeah. Survival Creek, you have an invite to come on the Survival Punk podcast anytime.
There you go. Hearing this live in action, my partner over here is actually putting forth the effort. And you know what? That means that this has been a fantastic show. We've hit some firsts on here. You're actually trying to help me out, and it feels damn good. And I got some griping out. It's a, you know, feels good to just let it flow sometimes. Have you had a good show?
I have had a good show.
Yeah, so stay tuned next week for the same bat time, same bat channel for Survival Punk.
We're probably going to be doing a bit more interviews.
I certainly hope so.
We'll keep doing the long forms. We may just do short interviews with people occasionally and just drop them in the show as the main topics. Maybe a 30-minute interview and then do our normal news and whatnot, or a 40-minute interview and drop the news and stick with Nutrition Punk or whatever. I know I've talked to one of my ex-girlfriends got into survivalism, prepping, and homesteading, and I gave her an invite to come on the show.
Crystal?
Heather.
Oh, different one.
Heather, yes. Heather, and she thought that'd be a good idea. So, because she raises chickens, she does some other homesteading stuff. She actually refound me through the blog. How crazy is that?
I can believe it.
Yeah, I'm the most famous person on the internet. So yeah, if you want to be on the Survival Punk podcast, if you do something cool, drop me an email at james@survivalpunk.com, and we'll see what we can do.
All right, but I think that's going to do it for us here at Survival Punk Podcast for this week. This is Mike.
This is James.
And just remember, if you have a really great idea that you think is going to sell, keep it to yourself and don't advertise it on your podcast. Who knows? Somebody might steal your show.
And remember, DIY to survive.